We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Let me just say one brief tiny thing.
Sure.
Then we'll immediately get back
you
into
You can say whatever you want, Dale.
This one's going to be
very brief.
Okay?
Okay. All right.
We have no control over the commercial content on this radio station.
We don't.
That's all I want to say.
But we love them all. We love each and every one of them.
We love our sponsors. We love all of our sponsors.
We take them straight. We take them curved. Left,
hey,
right,
hey,
wherever you're going.
You stay out of this, Rossi.
No, he's right. He's right. Any whatever you have, we enjoy it. And
for those people,
although I will say,
on me to make a move here and. We have no control.
We're getting a lot of attention, though, which means people are listening through the commercials, which we always tell them to do.
We're getting
you
some
never know
text
what you're gonna
messages
hear on there.
Both here at the radio station and on our own phones. We have no control.
Yeah, we are getting a few tennis
over
that.
The
good job, everybody.
So just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yes.
So a little bit of news made this morning on Mutton Callahan.
Down in beautiful Florida.
It was on this morning show, not the fine weekend show that they also
I know those
did.
Guys dipping in a little weekend work.
Fellas, I mean, hey, we're not sending you to Florida for nothing here, boys.
Nice job.
So today they had Tom Werner, part of the Red Sox ownership group, in place. Now, you'll remember a couple of days ago, late last week, they had Chris Sale on, and we talked about how impressive it was listening to Sale, how he handles everything. And Sale was talking about, because he's entering the free agency year of his contract, and didn't faze him at all. I got agents to worry about that. Yeah. My job is to worry about pitching. I said to you, I think they're going to get him signed to a deal before the end of the season. And we've gone back and forth about, you know, whether you take the chance because of his physical issues in the past.
Right. I say no. You say yes.
And I say yes.
Yeah.
Well, today, I think it was Jerry, he asked Tom Werner, part of the ownership group, about, you know, the contract situation for Chris Sale and where the organization is going with this.
Let's go Red Sox.
No, that wasn't what I was calling for.
He was
for.
Whipping the
Thank
crowd
you.
Up into a frenzy.
Jason.
That wasn't, all right, Jason.
Wasn't him? Myers are going nuts down there for him. You can hear it.
So, again,
good crowd.
Jason.
Grapefruit League.
Try to take your thumb off the button in there. Use your index finger.
Well, we have had private conversations. I think the best thing for us is to keep these conversations private because he and we have to come to an understanding that is good for both sides. But we have conversations with him, and in a perfect world, we'd love to have him back. He's one of the great pitchers in the American League.
I mean, so according to Tom Werner, they have in fact had private conversations with Chris Sale and probably his agent more than Chris Sale, but. Because Chris made it pretty clear last week, you know, I got people to worry about that. My job is to worry about pitching.
Right.
So apparently the Red Sox are at least in the early stages of trying to get a deal done with it.
Yeah, and it could be like when they went to John Lester and they said, how about $5.50? Would you like to play for us for that? I mean, it could very well be the same kind of thing. We have no idea how much they would offer him, but he's just going to say the right things. I mean, we had Sam Kennedy on talking about Mookie Betts, and he's going on and on about, you know, they would pay Mookie Betts, but they got to do it. We got to see if they're actually going to do it. They have a lot of free agents after this season, including Chris Sale. And I bet they've had a lot of conversations on all those guys. And I'm wondering if players are going to start to think about signing, not going all the way up until free agency when you wait and see what free agency has done to a lot of these guys. Bryce Harper's still unsigned. Manny Machado's still unsigned. And how much are those guys going to get? That may force some of these guys to really think about if the team gives you a serious offer with 1 year left on your deal, maybe you do it because maybe teams around the league are finally starting to say, we're not giving out 10-year deals. We're not giving out 8-year deals anymore. And we're certainly not going to give out, you know, that kind of money that we were before.
Even Sale said last week when he was talking to Mutt and Jerry, he said he was frustrated by the fact that he had two stints on the DL last year and he wasn't able to, you know, take the ball every fifth day, which is kind of his goal going in. But, you know, he's been reasonably healthy throughout the course of his career. And obviously, both of us are in agreement that when he is healthy, he's among the best there is in the game. I mean, he's that good. So it made sense to me that they were going to... He's also a bargain, by the way. This year, he's a bargain.
His whole career is...
He's been a bargain.
He's outpitched every contract that he's had.
By far.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not he tops the David Price salary threshold is another question. I don't know if they're going to go there, but I have a feeling... Well, it's obvious based on what Werner said. They want to get something done, and I think they will.
I am just so afraid of paying pitchers. You see all these guys get hurt, and then you also see them talk about how much they want to limit them. Like, isn't that also a concern? Where right out of the chute, the way you're going to handle Chris Sale, he probably doesn't even hit 200 innings, even if everything goes well. Like, just that's you're gonna limit him.
If you do your job.
Right.
Right.
So is that really worth paying, you know, $30 million a year for? They terrify me. Every pitcher is just seems like a about to go on Tommy John surgery or whatever else. I would rather spend my money on bringing Mookie Betts back, bringing Xander Bogaerts back, making sure those guys are locked up. I'm not saying you can have all crap pitchers, but it's just such a scary proposition to give those guys who already have a bit of injury history to give them that kind of money.
Well, I'll be curious to see, first of all, whether they can. Second of all, whether he takes a below-market contract, because his contract's been below-market basically right. His entire career. Whether he and or his agent feel like, hey, we got some ground to make up for here. We're not taking anything below-market anymore. We're going for market, if not above-market. The free agency situation in Major League Baseball, I think, has got some people a little nervous. David Price said last week about the opt-out, you know, why he didn't opt out as he had a right to do. J.D. Martinez has a right to opt out after this year.
Yeah, where are you going to get it?
And David Price said, have you seen the free agency out there?
Yeah.
Have you seen what it's like?
No, it's a mess. And if anything, that's probably collusion. If you want to talk about owners, I bet they've all gotten together and they say, listen, I won't give out a 10-year deal if you don't. Because don't you think there so many guys have gotten these deals, and with the exception of what Manny Ramirez when he signed that 8-year deal, most of these guys suck by the end, or they don't even play the last year, or they're just a disaster at the end of some of their contracts. But you have to do it in order to get them. You have to give A-Rod the number of years that he got, or he's going to go somewhere else, or Mark Teixeira, or all these guys. Really, you know, Yankees, Red Sox guys, but even Dodgers and Cubs, you have to pay them that money because somebody else would have. So I wouldn't shock me at all if we found out that GMs and owners around the league said, hey, it's not in the CBA, but let's just do ourselves. Let's protect ourselves. It's kind of like the NBA. The NBA, you can only pay a guy a certain amount based on all the things. Now, those numbers are going up, but you can only pay him a certain amount, and you can only give him so many years. So you're not caught on the back end with 3 years left on a deal where a guy can't even play anymore.
There's not a salary cap in Major League Baseball, but there's a luxury tax, which is somewhat serves as a salary cap. You go over the luxury tax, there are certain prohibitions, you know, what you have to pay to the league,
right.
What you give up in draft order.
Like international money or whatever.
I mean,
there's some penalties.
I understand, but it's not like... Right,
yeah.
You can circumvent it. But I'm looking at what's going on with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and Craig Kimbrell, just as three examples right now, where it seems as though there are at least the preponderance of owners. Not every team in baseball was going to look to sign those guys anyway. But it looks as though owners are saying, we got to get control here, guys. We are spending ourselves into
collusion.
Bankruptcy.
Yes,
no, even individually. I mean,
but every year there was always one team. So I feel like there's something's up. Now we'll see how many years those guys end up getting.
They've been saying for a while, and nobody believed them. You know, there is a limit to how much we can spend, and we're not going there.
Yeah.
And then they've kind of stuck to it.
And I wonder. So in another year, like, is Mookie Betts going to be in that situation, or is, because Betts is better than Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, but those guys were hitting free agency at the right time. It's not a scenario like,
I'm not sure if you look at the situation right now, maybe they hit it at the wrong time.
No, right time. I mean, of their careers,
right time,
age. I mean, that's so they should have been hitting it at the right time. No, the way the game is going and the way these owners are willing to spend money or give out these long contracts, that's not the right time. But just the fact that they are, you know, in their mid 20s. And so even if you were going to give out an 8-year contract, that's who you would do it to.
Right.
So Chris Sale is going to be 30 next month. So next year when he's a free agent, he's going to be going into his age 31 season. So tough luck. Like, you're not going to get a 7-year deal, or at least you shouldn't at that point. That's asking a lot.
I could see the Red Sox signing him to a 4 to 5 year contract extension.
Yeah, maybe. I could see it. I mean,
and I could see at like $25 million a year, and I'm just using round numbers here for the sake of argument. Now, whether he's willing to take $5 million a year less than David Price is getting, I don't know.
Yeah, because he has always said the right things, or he's always sort of said how that's not the top priority, right? He even had the quote, you know, last week with Martin Callahan about it's not about buying stuff, it's about winning championships. So that's what he cares about. But you know, he has an agent for a reason, and you wonder what those conversations are like. Are they just saying, hey, let's just get what's fair right now in the current market? Or, you know what? I've been so undervalued. Let's try to catch up, and let's throw the comps out there. Let's throw out the David Price contract and some of these the Zach Greinke contracts. Let's throw some of those out there and see if we can get closer to that number.
So the question becomes, will they be able to get it done? And I think they will, by the way. I think they're going to get Xander Bogaerts done. He's now, kind of hinted, by the way, that, yeah, I'm willing to talk about it. I think a lot of these guys are looking at free agency right now and saying, let's get what we can get while we can get it.
So why would you sign Sale now? Is it because you think if you don't, he would hold it against you at the end of next year and
it
leave?
It always happens that they do. We always say they won't. They always do.
But
they
always
ultimately think less of the organization. Oh, you didn't think enough of me to offer me a deal, huh? You wanted to see what happened?
But do you think he would take less from another team and hold it against him?
I think he's going to get money somewhere.
I think he'll get money too, but it could be here. And if he goes out and is healthy all season and doesn't have to have starts skipped in September and go on the DL twice in August and is able to pitch every game that you want him to pitch in the playoffs, then I would give him the money. I would outbid another team. But if the third straight year he's kind of breaking down in September, I would say, well, how is this going to get any better? So I think they're in a good position because they could see what this year looks like, and then they're still the Red Sox, so they can outbid everybody else
if they really
want them.
But I wonder, look, feelings always get hurt. It never fails. And you could say, well, I'll just pay him more money so his feelings won't be hurt. Doesn't he seem like the sort of guy who would say, screw you, I'll take less money and go play somewhere else because you didn't trust me.
But if he breaks down again, I mean, I don't want him to break down every single year.
Right, but if he doesn't break down and then he walks because you've pissed him off, doesn't he seem like the sort of guy who would do that?
He could. Yeah, he does. He seems like a guy who could hold it against you. But I'm just saying we've already...
And you like a guy who holds a good
grudge. I do. I love it. I have no problem with that. But 2 years in a row, he's broken down. So if you had to bet on one of the things happening this year, wouldn't it be break down again?
He broke down last year, quote unquote. He spent two stints on the DL. I understand that.
Right.
He still had a hell of a year for you, and you won the World Series. Like you said,
I understand.
I would plan into the year that, you know what, at some point or another, we're going to shut him down for 2 weeks. And I'm good with that.
But
we're
a guy,
fine with that.
Yeah, but if a guy is throwing 160 innings or whatever, I don't think he's worth $30 million a year. Like, I know he's very good when he's throwing those innings, but
Year he threw 170, right?
174
or something?
Yeah, he threw 158.
Okay.
So he threw 158 innings last year. And then in the playoffs, great moment at the end. He closes out the World Series, strikes out Machado. It's one of the coolest things ever, but also got skipped. Like, he also, in the playoffs, couldn't make his starts. And he didn't know if he was going to be able to start if that series kept going. So I just think there's a lot of uncertainty there with him. It's almost like, tying it back into Kyrie Irving, coming off of the knee injury, you were wondering, all right, how's he going to look? And I know because the way the CBA is, and they couldn't have given him, he couldn't have signed a max deal last year anyway, or it would have been a different max. But it kind of worked to their advantage because you get to see him play this year, and you get to see if he was healthy. Because if he's not, well, then sorry, see you later.
I just think that every time you do that, every time you say, you know what, let's just let him play it out. We'll see what he looks like at the end of the year. They leave.
All right, so he's going to leave $20 million on the table?
I think
that?
He'll get a lot of money somewhere.
But I don't know. He also seems like a guy who loves the team and loves Cora and loves the
guys
on the team.
Right up until the point where you don't respect him.
But it's not Cora's decision.
No. He will respect Cora. He'll respect his teammates. It's ownership and management that he will lose respect for and vice versa, in his opinion.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think he's a guy who would put... It's like, you know, Jerry asked him last week, you know, what could you buy with the next contract that you couldn't buy, you know, now? And he says, this isn't about the money.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? This is a pretty good team.
You know what? I think actually he's one of those few people who...
Yeah.
He's convinced me that he means what he says.
No, I know, but I also want him to be healthy at the end of the year. So I wouldn't just give him all the money in the world right now.
Well, all the money in the world, no. $25, $28 million a year, I would. and keep him happy and keep him, you know, at the head of your rotation. I would do it if I were.
I don't know how going into his 30s it's going to improve. You know, I think if anything, these should have been his healthy seasons.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We will also add into this whole thing the little fasty that the commissioner of Major League Baseball is trying to slide by the players and see if they notice or not. That's coming up as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
No need to check the time, as it's
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's gonna be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
It's
noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
Handle things so maturely.
That's us.
I didn't say me. I said you.
No, I do.
Oh yeah,
I'm very measured.
Yeah, my guy.
So getting older by the day, Dale.
Aren't we all? We're day to day for life.
That is also true.
So Rob Manfred is the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He has ordered all of the teams in the Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues to install pitch clocks in the ballparks. Now, as Jerry pointed out this morning, JetBlue Park is a minor league park already. You would think that there's a pitch clock there. They just have to turn it on, right? Because there's been a pitch clock in the minor leagues for a couple of years now. The whole idea here, according to the commissioner, Jason, is that they're having their own talk show in there, and that just disturbs me.
Turn that one on.
We got a lot of talk about the ownership of the Red Sox.
Well, maybe you could tune into this one. So Rob Manfred has, I guess, decided that there's the very real possibility he's going to stick a pitch clock into Major League Baseball this year.
You know, Jeff, that really remains to be seen. I think we need to put ourselves in a position that we could begin with the clock on opening day if, in fact, we reach an agreement with the Players Association or decide to proceed on our own. And obviously that means starting to get out there, test, you know, kind of phase into having players, umpires, everybody on the field get used to the clock.
There are critics of the pitch clock out there, whether it's some fans, some players. Why do you believe a 20-second pitch clock is right for baseball right now?
Look, I think that the clock has been really successful in the minor leagues with a minimum of disruption in terms of the play of the game. I think we have really good information to support the idea that it would help move the game along.
Who objects to the pitch clock?
Apparently, according to reports, the Players Association.
Oh, that's right. That's what's holding this up. The players. What is wrong with them? Because, by the way, the 20-second pitch clock, it's not like they're asking them to do a 5-second pitch clock.
No.
20 seconds? Didn't they do a study where most pitchers, like the vast majority, are under 20? They wouldn't even notice it was there. It's the Daisuke Matsuzakas, the David Price when he starts to get hit around a little bit. It's Clay Buchholz. There's a few pitchers that it would affect them, but most guys already get the ball and throw it in under 20 seconds.
Here's the thing about the pitch clock. It was originally proposed 2 years ago by Rob Manfred, and they installed it at the minor league level 2 years ago.
Right.
The rules of the collective bargaining agreement means that as long as the Players Association has at least a year notice, and in this case they've got 2 years of notice, Manfred has the right to just unilaterally say, here's the pitch clock, you deal with it. If they didn't give him a year notice, then the Players Association would have to approve it. They are under no requirement to get an approval from the Players Association. Now, I know what you're saying is, well, do you want to alienate the players? You've got this ongoing...
Well, they must just be afraid, right, of the next, you know, CBA? Is that what it is? That they don't want any kind of work stoppage? Because they would hold that against them and they'd say, well, listen, like, you guys, we objected to this and you put it in anyway. But for the betterment of the game...
I have no issues with
it. They should put it in.
As a fan...
Yes.
And soon to be broadcaster.
Yes.
I'm all for it.
Now, I know it's, you know, old school, and you look at baseball and you say, hey, you know, it's the only major sport that doesn't have a clock. You know, this game could be 2 hours, it could be 4 hours, and you just don't know. Some innings are fast, some are slow. It's all part of the beautiful game. Well, you know what? Other sports have also changed. There have been things that you have to put in place to sort of adapt with the times a little bit. And this, I don't even think it's going to make as big of an impact as people think that it would. I don't think this is going to drastically shave down the time of game. I don't. But at least if you
save a minute, I'll be happy. I mean,
it might only be like that. But I think if you start to get this, and at the very least, it is in the minors. So guys are going to be used to this anyway.
Right.
So you're not going to pitch 2 years in the minors with a pitch clock, then get to the majors and say,
now I can take 45 seconds.
Yeah, hopefully not anyway. So I think this is at least a good thing long term, but it's kind of a classic baseball thing where it's kind of dragging their feet, afraid of change. They want to keep it the way that it was, even though this would drastically help, in my mind, sort of the whole idea with young fans, which Rob Manfred is always talking about. He's always talking about really making baseball kind of cool and having young fans really embrace the game. This helps it. Everybody, we're all just so, you know, ADD now with all the different screens and with all the different stuff going on. And if you have games like this that can drag on forever, or specifically a pitcher or two, that's what it comes down to, is a couple of guys that just shake off a million signs, pace around the mound, grab the rosin bag. It's those guys that you got to kind of figure out.
There is another proposal that they are not implementing for spring training. So they cannot implement it during the regular season without Players Association approval. And it is a minimum of three batters for a pitcher.
Yeah, that one I don't know
about.
Now,
that one's a little more dramatic. Now,
because that one's direct strategy related. That impacts your strategy.
But the whole, you know, a pitcher per batter for four straight guys drives me nuts at times.
It is a little screwy.
But I do understand.
Yeah.
But that is something they've actually talked about. If you bring a relief pitcher in, he's got to face three guys before you can take him out.
Yeah, and I don't mind that one, but that really does... That impacts how managers make decisions, like that rule. You know, the pitch clock, it's like, just get it and throw it. Like, just hurry up. Like, just go. Don't take forever. This one is, all right, now you're going to put your lineup together a little bit differently. You might even have your bullpen a little bit different. I don't like the guys that are just a specialist like that. However, once he's out of the game, he's out of the game. And now you have less guys in the bullpen. So if you want to do three pitchers and three batters, so be it. But now those guys are done. So there still is some strategy there to it.
Although when it happens in the ninth inning, and by the way,
guy.
We've also seen managers do it, you know, down by five, down
yeah.
by
oh, yeah.
six.
You're like, here we go.
And it's like, oh,
yeah,
come
Joe Madden,
on, really?
He'll do it. A lot of those guys will do it. Yeah, it's a little silly, but I don't know. That one I'm not as wild about. If they pass it, fine, and I'd be interested to see some of these guys, they go out there, they serve up a homer, and then you're like, all right. He has to pitch to another guy. Then you'll get fake injuries. It's a whole thing. They'd bag out of games. That one could get kind of sloppy.
617-779-7937. John's in Peabody. Hey, John. How you doing?
Hello?
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Oh, it's not John. It's George.
Hi, George.
I apologize.
How's it going? Yeah, I just told the other guy the answer. I think it's an advantage to the players because... Hear me out for this. When you're going to batting practice, they have machines and them things are throwing the ball like every 10 seconds. And even if a pitcher's pitching and he has the net in front of him, he's throwing the ball every 10 to 15 seconds or so. And these major leaguers are used to getting the ball thrown. That's their batting practice. They don't wait 45 seconds in between each pitch. And I think it'll be an advantage to them because even if they foul tip two in a row, then the guy makes him wait 45, 50 seconds. He's out of his rhythm.
Yeah.
I mean, So there's probably still going to have to be rules put in place because guys are going to be able to step off the mound. Guys can still throw over to first. There's still going to be those kind of rules. But I don't care. If it's an advantage for the hitters, then so be it. I don't need the game taking 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I just think that they would actually be on the side of a 20, 25-second pitch clock because they don't want to be standing in the box for 3 minutes, you know?
So. Yeah, but then, honestly, then you get into it, even some of the hitters are a problem. You know, some of those guys, they're pacing around. Like, they're not even supposed to leave the box anymore, right? But they do. They're fake looking at the third base coach. They're adjusting their batting gloves and their cleats, and they have all their little pre-at-bat rituals. Some of those guys are just as slow as the pitchers are.
617-779-7937. Steve's in Portsmouth. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good.
Doing great.
So I think the pitch clock is definitely a good idea, and I think the batters and pitchers alike are going to, you know, will adjust to it accordingly. It might take a little bit of time, but eventually it's going to be the same game. And also, but the three pitcher, you know,
oh, we're losing you.
I think that you can't control the game like that. And if that is the case, that's something that, you know, baseball is definitely struggling, but it's not going anywhere. So it's rules that can probably be implemented over a slow period of time. But is what I wanted to really comment on, if it's okay, is the contract stuff you guys were talking about and, you know, extending Sale and extending, you know, Mookie specifically. And, yep. You know, I know it's been said out there that, you know, Mookie, you know, hasn't wanted to come to the table about an extension. And, you know, I don't think the Red Sox have, you know, there's been some small offers out there. I think some rumors about maybe like 3 years, everything under $100 million. But from what I, you know, this is what I, you know, the Red Sox should do. There is a way that you could get him to sign to an extension that would be beneficial for both sides. And that's by saying, you know, hey, Mookie, this year you're making $20 million, you know, from arbitration. You know, we didn't even go to arbitration. We just gave you the 1 year deal. You have arbitration next year. And then you're a free agent after that. So instead of doing that, let's rip this up. Let's give you a 4 year, $120 million contract. That's $30 million per year, which will put you right up there with the highest paid players in the MLB. It will be a $10 million raise this year, probably around a $5 million raise next year, and then an extra $60 million guaranteed, and you're still getting your 10-year free agent contract, you know, going into your free agent season at 29.
I don't believe he'd take it.
I bet he says no. He's too close to free agency for that.
Now, if you want to approach a legitimate contract situation with Mookie Betts, if you want to approach him with a 10-year, you know, $350 million deal, I'm for that.
That'd be hard for him to turn down, too.
And that's the sort of thing where I think he then says, okay, now, you know, but this whole idea of he'll sign a 4-year deal and then
I
know the caller's talking about a significant amount of money. I'm not downplaying that. This guy is going to be in the same ballpark. He's going to be in a bigger ballpark than Bryce Harper and Manny Machado when he becomes a free agent.
Well, he has already said in the past that he is going to really follow closely what happens with Bryce Harper. And he was talking about the money. But what he also has to be looking at is how long this has taken and how that money seems like it's come down. Now, all it takes is for one team to finally bite. And maybe it's, you know, in another week or two. Maybe it's in March when he finally signs. But he's going to look at that because that is a pretty good comp for him, a player who I think he's better than, right around the same age, and how much money does he make? Can he do better than that? And so let's say Bryce Harper signs for $300 million tomorrow. If the Red Sox go to Mookie Betts and say, hey, we'll give you $325, he's got to consider it.
And we kick it in now.
And we start that process now. So, yeah, it's not even $20 million this year. It's $35 or whatever. Like, I think he would have to really strongly consider
that. And by
the
way, if I were the Red Sox, I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would too. That's the kind of guy. I mean, he and Mike Trout and the guy in Colorado who I can't say his name, Nolan Arenado. Those are the three best players in baseball. Those are the three guys that you would give that kind of money to.
I would do it.
Yeah.
Now, the whole Chris Sale thing, we have a disagreement in terms of the fact that he's a pitcher. I understand your concerns.
Scares me.
Legitimate concern on your part. I don't think you're talking about signing Chris Sale to a 7-8 year contract either. I think what you're talking about is a 4 year extension in addition to the year that he already has, maybe a 5 year in addition to the year that he already has.
But if you're him, you're a whole year closer to free agency than Mookie Betts is. So almost at this point, if you're Sale, wouldn't you kind of want, like, wouldn't you bet on yourself and then put every team in the league in a bidding war on you? And I know free agency has been weird and it's a long process, but let's see what kind of money these guys get. Let's see how much of a discount Machado really ends up taking, or even Craig Kimbrell really ends up taking. I think if Sale has a really good year, stays healthy, now starts pitting teams against each other, he'd get even more than whatever the Red Sox offered him right now.
I still think, and from the Red Sox perspective, and we're endeavoring to get this sound right now, it's clear to me that they are looking at their own recent past and saying, you know what, we screwed this one up.
They did. Well, they admitted that. Well, first of all, they brought in Dombrowski, and they admitted that they screwed up the Lester thing, because part of the John Lester thing was, we don't want to give big money to pitchers in their 30s. And then the next thing they do is they bring in David Price, and that contract put him into his 30s, right? What's Price now? He's got to be 30. I think when he signed the deal, he might have been 30 or whatever it was, because he is 33 right now. So his first year with the Red Sox, he was already 30, and you gave him a ton of money. So they completely changed their philosophy on that. And then you see the money that even Rick Porcello's getting, and then what I would assume Chris Sale, if they did offer him something. So they have changed their tune as far as that's concerned.
Well, and I will tell you this, and we'll endeavor to get the sound so you can hear it directly. The owners are meeting with the media right now, John Henry and Tom Werner. And John Henry told the media, I think we blew the signing of John Lester in spring training.
No, they did.
And they did.
They absolutely did. They talk about low ball.
Well, I think they did in a couple of respects. One, the low ball offer, which we think was the Larry Lucchino offer. We believe that was the case.
Yeah.
And you know, as soon as it was out there publicly, we all went, did you really want to sign him?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, were you serious that you wanted to bring him back if that's what you offered him? And that relationship basically ended with that offer. So if they're, and Tom Werner told Mutt and Callahan this morning, they've already begun discussions with Chris Sale. Based on what John Henry said this afternoon, they're not lowballing him.
No, they're not.
They're not going in there and kind of, hey, we'll give you $17 million a year. That's a big raise from the 13 you're getting now.
Right, and that's what I would be afraid of is, well, you could still offer him that kind of money or more at the end of the season. So don't embarrass him with a lowball offer. I'm just saying you don't need to offer him a ton of money right now either.
Except they've already said they are.
No, I don't like it. I know they've done it. I wouldn't have done it that way.
And but to their credit, I guess, ownership has said, listen, we're not making that mistake again. Because there are people to this day, a couple of World Series championships later, who say, oh my God, I can't believe they let Lester go.
No, it is. Now, do you think Sale would be... He feels like he'd be this guy, similar to Jacob DeGrom.
Hey, once
the season starts, that's my sole focus. Or does he say?
Yeah, no, I don't think he is. And again, I'm going back to the interview he did with Mutt and Jerry, and they kind of asked him that, and he said, I got people who worry about that.
Yeah,
you know, so my job is to worry about throwing a baseball, and
he could
trusts
stay
his agent.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he wouldn't be involved every single step of the way. I mean, that makes sense.
So I guess the shorter answer here is, if they don't get this done during spring training, and I think that's their desire, I think that's what they're working towards, I think that he definitely could be one of those contracts that you read about in the middle of the summer. All-star break or something.
Yeah, could be. I mean, they've done that before. They've done it all, right? I mean, there's an example of every single thing. You know, signing a guy before the season, during the season, then immediately after. Like we've seen all of that with the Red Sox, but... They really do, and we talked about it last year a lot, they have kind of a small window because they have so much talent, they have a lot of young talent, but you look at the way the contracts are set up, is if they can't keep all of these guys, that's going to, I mean, specifically somebody like Betts in a couple of years, or even Bogarts after this year, what does their pitching staff look like? You know, you got David Price is back, but Sale and Porcello in a year, I mean, it's, well, maybe that was even part of the reason that they brought Eovaldi back and gave him a lot of money was because they had to cover themselves on the outside chance that two of their other guys leave.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WE.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
PEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
I think we blew the John Lester. We blew re-signing him in spring training. So for reasons that are pretty apparent now, which I won't go into, but they're apparent. So, but it wasn't, you can see what's gone on in free agency is that the price of war has gone up so radically that it's difficult, whether it's a pitcher or a position player, to enter into really long-term contracts at high dollars. And we haven't had a great, we've done better, I think, with pitchers, perhaps, than we have with hitters in really long-term contracts.
John Henry meeting with the media today. By the way, when he was talking about the price of war, he is talking about wins above replacement, not war, going to war.
Really
the price
going down
of
a,
war, yeah.
Another whole thing there.
Bullets cost more than they ever did.
Oh, boy.
K rations.
Can be good for the economy, though, sometimes.
Pith helmets.
Sure, pith helmets is a good conversation starter.
Get more of those.
If you want to go with that.
It is probably a frank acknowledgement within the organization. Hey, we screwed that one up. Let's not screw this one up again. Which is why Tom Werner's answer to Jerry's question this morning about, you know, look, we don't want to talk about this. We've had private conversations. It's clear that they have decided they don't want to have happen what happened with John Lester. You may lose him, but let's not do it because we basically ask him to leave.
I think we blew the John Lester. We blew the signing him in spring training.
It's also a lot easier to say that after you've won a World Series, too, right? After I think that...
Oh, it's easy now.
That's a lot easier to say. But I think it was very clear that they knew that they blew it because they weren't going to say, hey, that's our philosophy. No big money for pitchers over 30. Nope, they threw that out. They brought in Dave Dombrowski and they started to do things differently. So they can still admit that, but it's a lot easier to do when you've just won a World Series. You're one of the favorites to win the World Series again this year. Your rotation looks like it's pretty good. So you did rebound from that disaster of moving on from John Lester. But that's one that I think a lot of people are still going to hold against him.
Although I think that Red Sox fans and apparently Red Sox ownership still wish John Lester was here.
Oh, of course they do. They really loved John Lester.
He was like
Lester.
The perfect Red Sox guy.
He was nails in the playoffs. Like, he was exactly the type of guy.
Overcame cancer.
He was like
everything
homegrown guy.
Yes.
Like all that stuff, at least in the system. I know he's not from Boston, but everything about him was great. And all these great moments that he had with the team. And it was somebody that, now again, it really, really helps that David Price was able to pitch well in the playoffs and you were able to win the World Series. Otherwise, you'd still be hearing it. Think about that. If that played out, because that was the difference, is Lester's not as good as Price in the regular season, but in the postseason you'd much rather have him start your games. But now that you've been able to, Price specifically, but even the whole team has been able to move on since then yeah, you can stand up there and say we screwed that up. But it also, to your point before, sounds like they may want to make sure they don't do that with Chris Sale. But there's also a difference.
That's what I think they're talking
about.
But
I think there's a difference too with John Lester is, there's a difference between not offering you a contract and saying, like, hey, we'd like to do this in the offseason, or, hey, why don't you take this crappy contract?
Yeah.
Isn't that even worse? Like really? Like, you know I'm going to get significantly more than this in the offseason, and if you want to deal with me at the end of the year, I might be a little upset about it, but at least I get that rather than, hey, take half of what you might be able to get somewhere else. Like, that's
what
terrible.
You're worth.
Yeah, right. What you will definitely get from somebody else.
I mean, there may be some players that, you lowball. And there are certainly, parts of your roster that you're not going to overpay for. Steve Pearce, Mitch Moreland.
Right.
No disrespect meant to those guys, but you're not going to overpay for them. Xander Bogaerts, Chris Sale.
Well, that's why last year I was so surprised that the Red Sox went the arbitration route with Mookie Betts. Now, I know he hadn't won the MVP yet, but he was the runner-up two years ago, and then he just finished sixth. It was sort of a down year for Betts, and he had a 24 or 25 years old. He was still sixth in the AL MVP vote, and he wanted $10.5 million. They wanted to pay him $7.5 million. It's like, really? Like, you're going to fight with this guy right now? So won't he maybe think of that later on? Now, this year didn't happen. This year they doubled his pay, and hopefully he'll be feeling pretty good about the $20 million. But in the back of his mind, he's got to be thinking, this team went to an arbitration hearing, played a highlight video of Chris Bryant, and said that he's no Chris Bryant, so he's worth $7.5 million. If I was Mookie Betts, I'd be pissed.
He seemed to be able to get over it. Now, this year, they
How
said...
How so? He doesn't sign an extension.
No, but I'm saying this year, though, they changed their... They said, we're not going to arbitration. No, they did. We're going to give you the biggest raise ever.
So maybe those cancel out, or, like me, Dale, you hold a good grudge. You never forget.
Ever.
You never forget.
Jim's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, you know, the idea of giving Mookie Betts a 10-year, $350 million deal sounds really good to me, and I'm wondering if you do something like that, is that an indication to J.D. Martinez that you're willing to step up and maybe keep him from using his option?
Yeah, that's another guy that he has like three club options or player options coming up.
Right.
And I would, after the season that he had, I wouldn't mind giving him a little bit more money and then throw those out. But I don't know if he'd be willing to do that. He is making,
I think he's making around 22.
Yeah, that sounds 23.75 for the next 2 years.
Yeah. You know, and if you do step up with Mookie, I mean, maybe it makes him realize that they're willing to play and you know, possibly give him another extension, you know, a year or so in,
right,
and keep him from using that first option.
I'll be curious to see, and I don't even know if they've approached Mookie about a long-term deal. I hope they have, but I don't know that they have. Because if ever there was an ideal candidate, if you were ownership and you were going to write a blueprint for a guy you were going to overpay for longer, much earlier than you had to, he's the guy.
He is.
And you could make an argument that they're already doing that with the number they gave him this year to not go to arbitration. But they're not overpaying for him even with that number. Yes, it's the biggest raise and all that stuff.
Right. But he's like the fourth highest paid guy on the team. Fourth or fifth highest paid guy on the team, probably. And so, yeah, that is certainly not an outrageous number. But I also feel like guys who end up agreeing to these long-term deals like before they get to free agency, I think, first of all, it's probably a small list of guys, and it's ones that aren't going to bet on themselves. You know, like if Mookie Betts is going to say, I just won the MVP, I have 2 years left, and then all these teams are there. And I understand I have to be patient. I'm watching Bryce Harper wait 5 months in the offseason to get any kind of sniff, any kind of activity going. But in the long run, I think it would be worth it for him. You know, there are always examples of guys. I remember John Singleton. He played for the Astros. He was one of these hot prospects that came up, and they offered him a deal to lock him up right then, and he took it. And as soon as he took it, I was like, wait a minute. He must not be that good, because if he just waited a few years, he would probably cash in like crazy. But he's like, no. I want the money now. And he sucks. Like, you haven't heard from him anymore.
To the texter who says sign him all, Dale. No, what I'm talking about is signing, in this case, three, if you can even do it. Chris Sale is one. Xander Bogaerts is two. Mookie Betts is three.
What about Martinez?
I'm not as interested. I mean,
really?
Don't get me wrong. I like
him. No, he's great.
And I'm not suggesting that he's easily replaced. I'm suggesting that he holds all the cards here with the opt-outs. He may or may not elect to use them based on the way free agency's gone this offseason. I'm talking about contracts who are coming up. If I could get those three guys done ahead of time, then I run the risk, and I know it's going to happen, that Jackie Bradley Jr. isn't going to be here long term. And Andrew Benintendi may move on. And Rafael Devers may or may not be my third baseman of the future. And you know, you can add to that list. The three that I would try to spend significant money on to get wrapped up ahead of time, and we disagree about one, is Sale, Bogaerts, and Betts.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% Bogaerts and Betts. And Bogaerts, this is it for him. This is his last year. So he is a free agent a year before Mookie Betts is. So he's going to be looking for a big-time payday. He also is a Scott Boras guy. So I would be shocked if he got anything done this offseason. Right? He is a year away from letting everybody on the market take a shot at Xander Bogaerts. So even if he loves it here, I think you don't hire Scott Boras unless you want to get every single penny. So I think he's going to wait to the end of the year. You'll be in the mix, but you're going to have to pay a ton for him, and hopefully they do. And I think they can. A lot of people might be saying, well, you know, what's their payroll going to be? Like, it just, but some of these guys are going to start to come off the books. Rick Porcello is going to make over $21 million this year. Then he's a free agent. So either you're letting him go, or maybe he comes back at less. But either way, that's $21 million for one player off the books. Who are, maybe you trade Jackie Bradley away, right? And he's making $8.5 million right now. There are a few other guys that you could probably get rid of. Ruzne Castillo, by the way, still paying him for a couple of years, but then he's going to be gone after 2020, which is insane.
Oh my God.
Absolutely insane. But he's on the books for 2 years. But by the time, you know, the big jump up for Betts or Bogaerts starts, a couple of those guys will be thankfully gone.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. There's a guy very popular in these parts, guy that I love as well. He couldn't be more wrong than he was over the weekend. We'll talk about
Callahan?
That.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.